stories about the bright side of education.
Somos Sunnyside.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Somos Sunnyside, again with another special guest here today, and just a lot to talk about this afternoon for our listeners. This individual wears many, many hats. She is a Arizona House of Representative member of District 21, attended ASU and U of A, and is a huge advocate for education. Our special guest today is Ms. Consuelo Hernandez. So welcome, Ms. Hernandez. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing fine. Thank you for inviting me.
So talk a little bit about your roles. I mean, as I said, you're a board member. You've been serving the board for many years now. Also, you know, you're a state representative for District 21. So tell us how you balance all of that and you know, what got you interested in that and explain that to our listeners.
It's a lot of questions. Let's go back.
we'll tackle one at a time.
So I'm going on my fifth year serving as a school board member here in Sunnyside. That's probably one of my favorite jobs. And in the state of Arizona, it is a volunteer job, for those that are not aware. And as you mentioned, I'm a newly elected state representative here in the Sunnyside School District. There's three districts that cut into the school district, and I'm one of them. I'm still trying to figure out how to balance everything. To be quite honest with you, I think because I don't have a lot of outside responsibilities, because I'm not married or have kids. I think if I was in a different position in my life, I'm not sure if I could do as much as I do. So for now, my mentality is try to do as much as I can while I can. And that's what I'm doing now. So
you sure are. You're doing a lot for this community, a lot for this state. And you know, you took the words right out of my mouth in terms of how do you balance this? You know, that was the next question I was going to have for you. Just, you know, wearing so many hats. I mean, it's always the magic question and the million-dollar answer, right, in terms of balance. And so, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, what got you interested in this line of work? You know, obviously you're in a line of work where you serve communities, where you serve people. And, you know, that's very important to people, that they have advocates in terms of what they're interested in, what they care about. And so tell us a little bit about that.
So I started pretty young. I started when I was 15 years old, a student here at Sunnyside. My brother Daniel, who's also an alumni from the district, got my sister and I involved. My sister is also a state representative in a neighboring district, District 20. My brother was a state representative at one time as well, but he initially got his involvement in, it was a government class, and he was asking why there wasn't more women elected in office. And the response from that teacher was not very encouraging. It was along the lines of women are too emotional. So because I grew up in a family very apolitical, my mom was a small business owner. She had her own laboratory in Mexico, didn't really know much about politics. My dad was a construction worker, worked for himself pretty much for his entire life, but he was just trying to make ends meet. So early on, they tried to get us involved with as many things as possible. But I think part of that was because they were trying to get us out of trouble. Mm-hmm. We were born and raised here in the south part of Tucson. At the time, we had different issues in our community. So it was a lot of really hard drugs and gangs. I grew up and was raised all through Sunnyside School. I was very proud to be an alumni. But it came with its challenges at that time. So they tried to sign us up for as much as possible. And then my brother got us involved. But the idea was like we were always doing something outside of school. Mm-hmm. And my parents, thankfully, were really supportive. They didn't really understand what they were dropping us off at. Mm-hmm. But they just knew we were trying to make a difference in our own way.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great story. You know, and I think a lot of people, you mentioned your brother, Daniel, Mr. Hernandez, and your sister Alma, you know, you guys have all served in some capacity, served the state, right, as state representatives. And it's just you don't hear that story, right? You know, kids growing up on the South Side getting involved in politics, right?
Yeah.
And so just, you know, the inspiration you had, the inspiration Mr. Hernandez had, you know, and I love that piece about, you know, that he challenged that piece of the professor mentioning something in regards to, you don't see a lot of women in politics because they're emotional, which you know, is obviously a ignorant comment, right, to say the least. And so, you know, I, for our female listeners out there, our young, you know, students listening and just females, you know, interested in pursuing politics or any line of work, there is room for everyone, right? I mean,
absolutely.
If you're passionate about something and you want to make a difference, then go chase it. You know, you're always going to have these people that knock you down, right? That kind of, you talk about your dreams and you talk about what you want to do. And you know, our kids know the word hater. You know, they have those haters that believe you can't do it. And that's just so wrong, because we should never limit anyone from pursuing what they want. And you know, when you talk about the Hernandez family, what a beautiful story in terms of how you guys have served this community on so many levels, and obviously now at the state, statewide and in many instances nationwide, right? And so I think a lot of individuals are aware, or may not be aware, depending on how old you are out there, right? But of the story of how, you know, Mr. Daniel Hernandez got his opportunity in politics, and the whole story with Gabby Gifford, and, you know, him being an intern and was there when that dramatic event happened, that tragic event, you know, the shooting that happened, and he was there and helped save her life, you know. And I remember being at home, as you know, and watching the president's state of address, mm-hmm. and him being in the audience there, you know, and being recognized as a hero. And so, you know, obviously he's been an inspiration. And so, you know, I think when people get into this line of work, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's because you want to make a difference, right? And so what's your passion?
Yeah. And, you know, what's kept me involved in politics is, and I'll be very honest with you, I consider myself pretty introverted. I used to always be the staffer behind the scenes and trying to help other people win their elections. And then I honestly just got really frustrated with people. Mm-hmm. And I still get frustrated with people, but I got frustrated because I felt that the people that were representing me were not representing me. And I felt that they weren't doing the best that they could to represent me. And I started going to school board meetings for fun in high school, and it got to a point where the adults in the room were nervous about the young people being in the room. And I don't know what they were thinking. There was just a lot of problems going on in the district at that time, but they were just afraid of being exposed, I guess. And I had such a small audience. I was so young. I didn't know what I was doing. But what's kept me involved is when I started my involvement at 15, I started volunteering in different areas of Tucson. And that's when I started comparing the areas that I was helping people get elected in and what my neighborhood looked like. And I got very frustrated. And I didn't know all the questions or the answers. I just knew that whatever was happening, I didn't think was fair, because I felt that my community could be better, mm-hmm. and that it could look better, and that we could have a better education system, and maybe our schools look a little nicer, and maybe I just felt like maybe our parks could have grass, like simple things like that is what kept me involved, because I just thought that there was a possibility for my community to improve. And that's what's kept me. And the biggest thing for me is I graduated from the university, from ASU, my undergrad in global health, and then I got my master's at U of A in legal studies. But the one thing that keeps me in politics is the possibility of helping lift other people up. Like, I'm already at a point where I feel like I can apply for jobs and have a better opportunity than a lot of other people in my community. Mm-hmm. But what about everyone else that's left behind? That's what's kept me involved is, and my line of work has always been rooted in education, because I feel like if it's either a technical certificate or an associate's or a university degree, any sort of education that you could get under your belt, it will absolutely help you. And that's why I'm here still at Sunnyside, is because I believe that we can continue to serve our students better and give them more opportunities through partnerships. And you also played a role in that through trying to strengthen our partnerships with the community colleges and the universities and pressuring them to do more, because they are Hispanic serving institutions, and we need to be able to live up to that and make sure we're being able to give more of our students that opportunity at an education, whichever path they decide to go to.
Yeah, well said. I mean, you know, that's just a lot of good stuff there that you mentioned. You know, one of the things that stuck out that you mentioned was, you know, you were managing a lot of these campaigns, you know, in terms of behind the scenes, and that what you mentioned of, man, I felt like I could do it better, right? And I think a lot of people can relate to that, in terms of those individuals that have taken leadership roles. Sometimes you are that person working it behind the scenes or working alongside someone, and all of a sudden you have that you know, the light bulb turns on, and you convince yourself that, you know what, I can do this. I need to go take on a role like this, and I want to make the difference. And it takes people with the right heart and the right mindset to make a difference. And so, you know, that's definitely that, you know, something that you know, I think is demonstrated when you interact with people is, you know, you listen to them, you're passionate about it, and you want to make a difference. And I really appreciate that you challenge us too. You know, as a superintendent, you a board member, our relationship is, we communicate well, but I appreciate that you challenge me to go find out ways to do things better, because our community does deserve this. It reminds me a lot of, you know, when growing up also, you know, here in Sunnyside, and when I was in athletics, visiting other campuses for the first time, you know, whether they're on the north side, east side, and you would be like, oh, look, they do have grass on their baseball field, and oh, look at these nice facilities and stuff like that. And asking yourself, why don't we have that? You know, you know, I joke about it, but it took us a while to get a splash pad on this side of town, you know. And so I remember going to a family party at Brandy Fenton Park, and I said, wow, look at this splash pad here. And, you know, never thinking we would get one, but we now have a beautiful one there at Gunny Barreras Park. And so, you know, our community deserves this, and our community, you know, we have to learn how to be activists as well. You know, we have a voice, and we have to learn how to utilize that voice, and you know, whether it's going to our state representatives, our governing boards, you know, those people in elected positions or leadership positions, we have to voice our opinions, because I feel sometimes growing up, and I say this because, you know, I grew up in this community. We have many parents, and, you know, including my parents, that they're just compliant. You know, they really feel like, you know, schools should take care of their kids and make the decisions for their kids, and they have a lot of trust and there's loyalty there. But, you know, that at times, if they see something that's not right, they need to speak up and make sure that we're following through and make things better, not just be okay with individuals being compliant. And sometimes we see those behaviors in the classroom, where our kids are, you know, will go into a class, they're respectful, they're taught at a young age to respect adults, they come in and they're nice and quiet and they just do what they're told, right? And sometimes you have those other kids that are probably the ones that was probably me in high school, that you question everything, right? Well, why are we doing it this way? And why are you in a bad mood, teacher? And why did we have homework? And so, you know, those kids are a little bit more risk takers. But, you know, just thinking along those lines, you know, thinking about behaviors and you know, how people figure out what they're passionate about in terms of making a difference. And we love hearing those stories, right, of alumni like yourself, you know, a Sunnyside grad going out and making a difference and being role models for young people in our community. You know, every chance we get to if we can get you to the schools and talk to our young students, it starts with that vision. They start visualizing themselves being successful and visualizing themselves in those certain positions. And so that's definitely something we need to utilize more is to use just our alumni and get them in front of our kids, as much as we can.
And you mentioned a few really good points. One is we have to be our own advocate. We won't always have someone that will be fighting for whatever it is that we care about. And whether it's a student or families or within the district, whichever staff member it is, you have to be your own advocate sometimes. Mm-hmm. And not everyone, and I understand that it's uncomfortable. And there's different ways to go about being an advocate, right? You can set up a meeting and ask to speak to someone, or you can email someone. There's so many different methods of reaching out and communication, but you have to be your own child's advocate. And for me, I felt like I didn't have my own advocate. So I started questioning things very early on of why, like you said, like why is my field looking different? I became my own advocate. And through that, every room that I go into now, it doesn't matter what part of the country I'm in, I'm still trying to figure out, okay, is there any connection here that I can bring back to my district? Mm-hmm. Because there's not a lot of us that get to be in these rooms with these people. So right. Wherever it is, whether it's alumni or parents, wherever you're at, you can be your own advocate and figure out what you're passionate about. So if you're a student and you're passionate about making sure that there's more green initiatives, or if you're a teacher and want to make sure that there's more opportunities for leadership positions, whatever it is, you have to ask. So that was something that I learned early on that my parents instilled in me is like, if there's something that's happening and you don't think that it's right, you should ask why, like what's going on. And then if no one also is asking you to apply for a job or go out and do something yourself, you have to do it yourself. Like you can't ask for permission all the time. And there's nice ways to do it, obviously. Right. And I'm referring to like running for office, for example. Or you could, there's so many different boards. Depends the level of service that you want to get into, but you can do so much. There's people who are passionate about mental health advocacy. There's people who are passionate about public education. And you have to go out and ask, can I join this? What can I do? You have to take your own initiative, because early on, not everyone's going to get your shoulder tapped on and say, oh, I think you're next. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen to me. I also was the background person. So that's why I'm so passionate about making sure that we do give students who don't have necessarily the leadership qualities opportunities to be in these types of rooms, because neither one of my siblings were in, and we've all been in elected offices. So that's why I brought the program, the participatory budgeting. And correct. Thankfully, I was able to get the buy-in of the idea from my district. And that's also really important is I also feel very lucky, because it doesn't matter what idea I have. I've texted you randomly on a weekend or sent you articles. You're also a leader who is willing to listen and figure out, is there anything that we can do? So your type of leadership style is very open. And I know that that's not the case for a lot of school board members across the nation. Like, they're not as lucky. They don't have those relationships, but you treat everyone with respect. And it doesn't matter if it's a board member or an employee, you always give someone the benefit of the doubt of like, okay, what's going on? And that's why I feel lucky to be here, because you do give us those opportunities to work on issues that we care about. Well, and that's important when it comes to leadership.
Yeah, and I didn't pay her to say that. I mean, I truly appreciate the kind remarks. And it boils down to passion. And I like to you know, when I get in front of students, you know, we definitely talk about this self-advocacy. Yeah. Advocate for yourself, because if you don't advocate for yourself, someone may never advocate for you. As you mentioned, not everyone has an advocate. And I know our counselors and our teachers push this. Well, have you gone yourself to go ask this question? Mm-hmm. Have you gone to go inquire about this when students have an issue, right? And so that is, you know, I learned that when I left high school and started college. I said, well, if I don't advocate for myself, no one's going to advocate for me. And so that's just a skill to have. You know, I'm also a believer in this piece of, if you follow your passion, it leads you to your purpose, right? I mean, we're passionate about a lot of things. You talked about how do you get involved in what you're passionate about. There's a lot of organizations out there, a lot of opportunities out there for students, for adults, in terms of what they're passionate about. And so, you know, that will lead you to your purpose. And obviously, purpose leads to happiness, right? You know, because you feel like you're making a difference. Yeah. And so, you know, people sometimes are just uncomfortable in those situations because they haven't experienced that. And so, you know, I use a lot of little quotes and phrases, but one of the things we talk about in our organization is get comfortable with the uncomfortable, yeah. right? Because that's the only way you grow as a learner, is to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And so, you know, a couple key things you mentioned, you know, and how students get involved, you know, with civil services and learning the voting process. We have a program called PB, Participatory Budgeting, that we do at our high schools, and trying to pass that on to the middle schools this year. I believe two of our middle schools are also doing it, and it teaches them to get involved and make a difference in their community, and learning what it takes to get involvement from the student bodies and student body voting on certain projects. And one of those projects came to fruition just a couple weeks ago at Desert View High School. They built a Watto. It was led by some of our Native American students and the PB team there. And a shout out to Ms. Stoller, who's Ms. Espinosa, who are the sponsors there of PB, and led by one of our students named Dancing Bear at Star, who you know, help construct that Watto, and you know, it's there on Desert View campus, and it just it's a neat project. So we had the ribbon cutting a couple weeks ago, and you know, it's that start to finish. It took a while for them to get going. It took them a little over a year to figure out what they want to do, but that's something that they did together. And now they're talking about murals, right? Maybe we can do some murals on our campuses that would make a difference that students can relate to. And so it is about student experiences, student opportunities, and getting our young students involved, because they're the future, right? They're the future state representatives, they're the future governors and mayors, and they're the ones that are going to make a difference. And so, you know, very, very inspirational. You know, not to change topics here, but when you talk about elections, you know, what does the passing of the override mean for the Sunnyside community from your perspective? Obviously, and you know, we've talked about it, it's been in the news a lot. We finally passed an override. Propositions 498, which was a maintenance and operation budget override, and 499, which was a district additional assistance override. And the community really stood behind us, you know, in terms of you know, passing these. I mean, not only did they pass, but they passed convincingly. 498, I believe, was at 63%, and 499 at 61%. You know, when I look back at it, I mean, I'm still numb about it. I'm still like just in awe of this whole thing. It had been 16 years, and that's why I said finally earlier that we finally passed one. But it had been 16 years since this community had passed an override. And so, you know, for me, it just feels super good to know that we have the community's support and trust. And, you know, I just wanted to pose the question to you, as someone that's very familiar with the election process and been around for some of these as well. What from your perspective, what does that mean to you and the Sunnyside community?
Oh my goodness. I remember texting you at night. I think I texted you too. It felt so good, because my family and I had been trying for so many years. And I remember being in rooms where it was just like 10 of us and half of them were my family. I think the difference, so there's two things. One, I think it's this is a new beginning for us as a district. I think this demonstrates that our community really cares about our students and our future. Not even just the future of our students, but they care about making sure that we give them a shot at a quality education. A lot of the time, the perception is that lower income Latinos don't care about voting, and that, you know, it's a low voter turnout. I get it. But this passed overwhelmingly. So I think that tells us that our community cares and listen to the needs that our district had, because our students are in these communities and they're, like you said, our future leaders. They're also our future homeowners. They're also our future teachers. They're also our future administration. A big chunk of the people that work in the district also live in the district as well. So I think that was a testament of the trust that they have in the district as well. But this is owed in large part to the leadership that was shown here. I had never seen leadership be as involved as they've ever been. This was the most involvement I had ever seen. So I think when you're able to get the buy-in from leadership to be involved, that is what made the difference. Because if you as a leader in your own school are talking about how important this is for you and for everyone in your school, that trickles down. So that's how, and you all did a big part of the heavy lifting, but you guys mobilized, you guys talked to donors. There were so much moving parts because it's an entire campaign.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, the most beautiful part of it, is that there were so many people that felt like they had a stake in what was happening like never before, because they were part of the process. And that, I think, is so great, because I had never seen that before. And now we have teachers and assistant teachers and counselors, librarians, you name it, that were all part of this process and that were waiting on election night for the results. Apart from people who had heard about it and were waiting, but that was something that I've never seen before. And it's a new day in Sunnyside. I just can't believe, and it, and you know what, the frustrating part too is the funds that we're going to be collecting through these initiatives are not to buy like a new building or the nicer school buses that have all these gadgets or whatever. This is literally just the bare bones to make sure we have our librarians in every school. We have counselors, we have programs, and just everyday pieces that make a school run. Like, that's sure, what we were fighting for, and that's what won. And I hope that it was very encouraging for me to see that, and I hope that carries through to the next election. But I hope that we get to a point where we don't have to be fighting for the bare bones just to provide our students with an education that's up to par to other school districts. And I think, you know, we have such bright students. We had a record of scholarships this year. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that we are proud of in this district that everyone that make up a school we're a part of. And I hope that when we're able to get to a point where our state is properly funding our education, we could even see a bigger return on our investment. So that's what keeps me also going to politics, is I hope we get to that point. But for now, even with the bare minimum, not saying that we're not providing services, sorry, sure, but we are a district that is resilient and will continue to move forward whether we had an override pass or not. But we deserve better too. So right. hopefully we'll get to a point where we're not having to continue to do that, but I'm so encouraged by the results.
Yeah, I mean, definitely gives us some breathing room, right?
Yeah, I think, for a few years. I mean, great.
It's funny, you know, because, I mean, ever since we've passed it, and I'm so grateful and thankful to our community, you want to give them another shout out, you know, just because we can't thank them enough, right? Yeah. And so our political action committee did a phenomenal job. And, of course, that was employees, teachers, counselors mm-hmm. that were part of the committee, community members. You know, your family as well, the Hernandez family was out there, you know, on the weekends knocking on doors and helping us out with the advice, right, in terms of how you run a successful election as well. And so we were always optimistic, right, in terms of like, all right, we feel good. But the key thing was this piece of people getting involved, as you said, on a whole different level mm-hmm. and awareness, right? So there was buy-in from the community. We had answers to their questions. You know, what are we going to do with this? And why do we need to pass one? And how does it work? And this, and that. And so we had answers, you know, to their questions. But, I, and you hit it right on the nose in terms of adequate funding from the state. You know, we're forced into these positions because there isn't right. adequate funding. And so we have to rely on our voters. And so, but, you know, I think it's loud and clear that and they understand this piece of if we want better communities, if we want better schools, then we need to support our schools, right? And so they're obviously supporting us. And now we have to be fiscally responsible and deliver what we promised in terms of, you know, the monies we're getting, you know. But to put it in perspective, it's about additional $15 million a year we're getting. And so that definitely helps. Definitely got breathing room there. But that only goes so far, right? And so I just, when I was new to this position, I had no idea what things, you know, cost. And when you fix an HVAC system at a school, when a chiller goes down, when plumbing goes down, I mean, you're talking big amounts of money that it costs. You know, it's not like getting it done at your house. I was, you know, I thought I could make some accurate estimates in terms of what things were costing until I started getting some of those bills of what it costs. And so, you know, we're super grateful. It's neat not to be having the conversation of, hey, it didn't pass. How do we right size now? You know, what gets cut, right? Because you got to trim budgets when these things aren't successful. And so when you trim budgets, that means sometimes it means jobs. You know, obviously we try to always keep it away from the classroom. But, you know, thankful that we're not in that predicament this year. Our headache now is how do we spend the money, right? And so that, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of advice and opinions about that one as we're already starting to get some requests in terms of what's needed. But, you know, I think I just want to just cap it with this piece of our kids deserve it. Our employees deserve it. Yeah. You know, they definitely, this is a long time coming and they deserve to have beautiful work environments and learning environments. And we want to provide our students and employees with the tools necessary for them to be successful. And so we're definitely going to continue to make sure that happens, right? In terms of their experiences. And so, again, just can't thank the community enough. We're stoked. I mean, again, it hasn't settled in yet, but I'm sure it will once we start receiving the funds this next school year. And so, you know, just as we're wrapping up here, Ms. Hernandez, you know, you've been an awesome guest for our listeners here. I'm sure they're learning a lot from what you're saying in terms of your experiences. Any final thoughts? Any final comments? I mean, I usually like to throw a question that throws our guests for a loop, like what's your most embarrassing moment or what's your, you know, where do you see yourself 5 years from now in terms of a goal? But any final thoughts? You don't have to answer those questions specifically, but any final thoughts for our listeners out there?
Sure. I think the only final thoughts that I have are you and me and everyone listening, we need to continue to advocate for our own community. So we have a lot to celebrate in this district. We passed the override, but now it's on to making sure that we fully fund our public education system. So I welcome anyone who wants to join in those efforts. It takes advocacy. And like I mentioned, if you're uncomfortable, that's okay. It could be uncomfortable. You can always reach out to me. I'm always available. I always respond to anyone who reaches out, you can reach me on either social media or email. But it takes all of us to make sure that we can provide a better future for our students. And I personally don't have kids, but I want to make sure that the kids that are here have a shot at a quality life. And that means having a shot at opportunities that I didn't.
That's awesome. And it does. It takes that collective voice, right? Mm-hmm. It takes that collective voice to make a difference. And you know, I love having alumni here on the show just because, you know, you're just an example of for our students on what is, you know, they're not limited. They can achieve what they want if they're just passionate enough about it, if they're willing to put the work in and take risk. You know, it does take a little bit of a risk taking in terms of chasing your dreams. And you know, we've all heard the sayings of you got to fail before you succeed and those pieces. We've all experienced a little bit of failure, but, you know, we get knocked down and we get up and, you know, wipe our pants down and you know, go back at it. And so, you know, I want to thank you for coming on. I know you're super, super busy in your world. And I, you know, thank you for making the time to speak to our listeners, especially our students and our employees out there. And, you know, I know you'll continue to make a difference in this community. And so we want to give you a big shout out, give the Hernandez family a big shout out. And if you guys run into her in the community, stop her. She's always willing to have the conversations and don't be afraid to reach out. So this concludes another episode of Somos Sunnyside. So thank you, Ms. Hernandez.
Thank you.
Somos Sunnyside.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Somos Sunnyside. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and found it entertaining. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and share our podcast with La Comunidad. For updates on future episodes and more, be sure to follow us on social media and visit our website at susd12.org. We appreciate your support and can't wait to have you back for the next episode. Hasta la próxima vez. En Somos Sunnyside.